John, I've heard so many different sides of end times, the apocalypse. Some people say that it will end in a good way for all of us. Other people say no. What's your take?
Well, it's my take is that, yes, there are as many forms of propagating an end as there are interpreters. There is a number of people who believe that we are really in the end times now, that the number 666 of the beast is about the Antichrist for now, in our times. Now, there are also other people who believe, who look at the decoding numerology, the semantics of 666 that have been proposed by St. John, who wrote the book of Revelation, that it actually spells out in Greek, Nero Kaiser, in the equivalent translation. I won't get into the details of it's nitty-gritty of that, but it's basically either Nero Kaiser or Caligula Kaiser, which would say that the whole cornerstone of apocalyptic literature that St. John's talking about was really about his own times and has nothing to do with our present time 2,000 years later. Now, as I was saying before about self-fulfilling prophecy, and as I've wrote a whole chapter about it in the Messiah's book, which looked at messianic prophecies, and in the chapter called From Propaganda to Armageddonomics, we have, if you have enough people in a whole society who are either directly or indirectly programmed every generation for hundreds of generations for a couple thousand years to see a certain thing in their future, if you can influence and create that future or something similar to it. So in a way, the apocalypse that if it was supposed to happen in the time of Jesus Christ or shortly after, during his contemporaries, disciples' life, and it didn't happen, that doesn't mean that something similar isn't being created by a huge hypnotic suggestion.
That's an interesting thought.
So in that hypnotic suggestion, I'll try to say it as succinct as I can, because it's quite a complex issue. You see, the world is kind of divided into two basic lobes, like the human brain. There's an Eastern way of looking, Asian way of looking at divinity and religiousness, and there's a Western way. And it's like the male and female way, the passive and assertive way of looking at things. Now, in the East, they harbor a feeling that the world is a place you kind of pass through and visit and that you try to transcend because it's basically in a state of illusion. It's the world that we see around us is the world of illusion. Now, some people in the East think that the world itself is an illusion, but the mystics that I've encountered, and I think people that are more deeper into the esoteric understanding of Hinduism and Buddhism, say that it's our perception of the world. The world's real, and the world is part of the divine, but it's our perception of it that's false and illusory until you become fully awakened. Now, that's the feminine view of religion from the East. And the more masculine or yang view from the West is that the earth itself is actually in the dominion of evil, that nature is part of the dominion of Satan, and that God transcends that, and the whole effort of people is to transcend nature and the earth. And if you have that kind of a point of view, that the earth is going to be destroyed, that it must be destroyed, if that view, whether it's true or false, is what you believe, what you've borrowed from others on a collective level, then certainly on a subconscious level, if you believe in that, you're not going to openly do things that prevent the destruction of the world eventually, because your whole theology requires that a third of the waters, a third of the sky, a third of the people, a third of the animals have to be destroyed before your deliverer, your version of the Messiah, or the Avatar, comes to save you from yourself. So even though consciously no one in their conscious mind would countenance doing things outright to destroy the world, you've got to wonder when people who believe in such a theology, people as high in government as James Watt was in the Department of Interior mm-hmm. during the Reagan administration, sits before a congressional hearing and basically says, argues that, until the last tree is cut down, Jesus will not return. So he was arguing that why should we not exploit these lands, because this will hasten his return.
The last pope after John Paul, whenever this happens, and it will, but who knows when, is there a code name for this pope? Do we already know
yes.
who this person could be?
His code name in the mottos is Gloria Olivae.
Which means?
The glory of the olives. The olive branch or the olive, literally. And basically, here's what that could mean. It means that if a pope is chosen amongst the candidates that are considered right now, if he had olivo or a word in his native name, his Christian name, surname that is of olives, then that would be a strong indicator. I don't see that grabbing me in any of the current candidates. Or it means that he belongs to a certain order of monks or had been a preacher or priest in a certain town that was called after the name or variant of olives. For instance, De Meditate Lune, who is John Paul I, the previous pope before John Paul II, his name was Albini, Luciani, which are two aspects to the moon. He was a priest in the town of Bel Luno, good moon, and he was found dead of suspicious causes, or it could have just been from extreme low blood pressure, died in his sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And they found his body at the time when the moon was in its final quarter. It's in the half moon. So with that said, if these aspects are playing with the pun of olive, the glorious olive, that's one way to look at the man. So the day, hopefully not soon, but probably will be soon, when we will be looking at the new candidates, we're going to look at that. But what I said in my book, The Last Pope, which looked at all the prophecies of St. Malachi and also many of the kind of the prophecies and prophets that have had a sort of love-hate relationship with the Vatican. These are Catholic prophets.
Right.
My take is that the next pope, the Gloria Olivae, is not about his name, or it perhaps is not about his coat of arms, although I don't rule that out if there's olives in it. It could be about that during his reign, you will start seeing what was talked about in Matthew chapters 24 and 25, and that is the prophecies of Jesus Christ's sermon on the Mount of Olives. It basically is called the small or little apocalypse. That means that in the reign of the next pope, we're going to see those things that indicate we're in the period bringing up to the tribulation and the chastisement that's in Catholic prophecy. And I mean, if I read Matthew 24, verse 6 through 8, you might see these kinds of things happening in the reign of the next pope.